like standing on the edge of a mountainside. I can feel the wind stirring, lifting me up high. I was born into freedom, I was made to fly. I am strong and full of life. Oh, I am steadfast, no compromise. I lift my sails to the sky. I'm gonna catch the wind. I'm gonna catch the wind. And your faithfulness will down. I am confident thou see your goodness now. And I know you hear my heart, I'm singing. I am strong and full of life. I am steadfast, no compromise. I lift my sails to the sky. I'm gonna catch the wind, catch the wind. 'Cause I am strong and full of life. I am steadfast, no compromise. I lift my sails to the sky. I'm gonna catch the wind, gonna catch the wind. Your faithfulness will never let me down. I'm confident I'll see your goodness now. And I know you hear my heart, I'm singing out. There's nothing that can stop your goodness now.
Holy, holy is the Lord, worthy to be praised. Yahweh. Holy, holy is the Lord, worthy to be praised, Yahweh. Holy, holy is the Lord, worthy to be praised, Yahweh.
Spirit of Jesus, living within us. Never to fail or forsake. Unending promise. Heaven inside us. Whispers the sound of
holy, holy is the Lord, worthy to be praised, Yahweh. Holy, holy is the Lord, worthy to be praised, Yahweh.
I'm filled with your wonder. Here I surrender, held in your mystery of grace. Calling me closer, waking desire, coming alive in your name. And holy, holy is the Lord, worthy to be. Yahweh, and fire rising in my soul, all consuming flame, Yahweh. He who was and is is the one who lives in us, the great I am, Yahweh. He who was and is to come is the one.
Holy, holy is the Lord, worthy to be praised, Yahweh. And fire rising in my soul, all consuming flame, Yahweh. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, by the power of his blood and his cross, I declare freedom. Freedom and liberty. Freedom and liberty. I declare in the name of Jesus, every bondage broken, every fetter unshackled, every heaviness lifted. In the mighty name of Jesus, I declare joy for mourning. Joy for mourning. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. He is the glory and the lifter of our heads. By definition, it is impossible for you to be in his presence without your head being lifted. So we welcome the glory of heaven. We welcome the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the name above all names, to come, be enthroned by our praise to you, be enthroned by our worship. For you alone are worthy, God. You alone are worthy. Where everything else fails, your word endures forever. And to the increase of your government, there is no end. The heavens were founded on your faithfulness and your justice and who you are. So we've come together this morning, today, to praise you, to pour our love on you for your goodness and your faithfulness and your great love. And no power will stop it. There is nothing above you. And we will exalt your name. We've come to exalt you on high. Alabaster jar, it's all I have of worth. I break it at your feet, Lord. It's less than you deserve. You're far more beautiful, more precious than the oil, the sum of my desires and the fullness of my joy. Like you spilled your blood, I spill my heart as an offering to my King. And here I am, take me as an offering. And here I am, giving every heartbeat for your glory. And here I am, take me as an offering. And here I am, giving every heartbeat for your glory. Take me. This time that I have left is all I have of worth. I lay it at your feet, Lord. It's less than you deserve. And though I've little strength, and though my days are few, you gave your life for me, so I will live my life for you. Like you spilled your blood, I spill my heart as an offering to my King. And here I am, take me as an offering.
giving, every heartbeat for your glory.
Come on, sing it.
Worthy is the Lord. Worthy, worthy, you are worthy. Worthy is the Lord. And you are worthy. Worthy, worthy, you are worthy, and worthy is the Lord. And here I am, take me as an offering, and here I am. Every heartbeat for your glory. I exalt thee. I exalt thee.
Come on, lift it.
I exalt thee,
O Lord,
O Lord.
I exalt thee.
I exalt thee. I exalt thee. I exalt thee, O Lord. I exalt thee. I exalt thee. I exalt gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. And my chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And 'twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. And my chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has rescued, ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secures. And He will my shield and portion be as long His life endures.
Come on, sing it.
And my chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace.
Let's just, I think I have a word. It's kind of a different type of word. But am I on? Can you
test?
Yeah, I'm on. Okay. How many of you remember the story of Joseph? You know, where he went through all the trials and tribulation, and ultimately God, raised him up. And there was a prophetic word that came that it would be 7 years of good and 7 years of bad. And Pharaoh said, "Who's more wiser than you, Joseph, than to to take care of us now so that when the bad years come, we'll be able to survive." And what I'm hearing is the opposite of that. I think that for some of us, you've been through 7 years of bad. You've had crazy stuff happen to you.
That's wrong.
Finances got blown out of the water for this, that, and the other reason. But the Lord says that 7 years of good is coming. And I believe that this year, the one that's coming, it starts those 7 years for you. And so I just encourage you to pray as we approach this new year, close out this last year, that you pray and you ask God to give you wisdom to know what to do with all the good that's coming your way. Joseph had wisdom. He was able to store up and to be able to bless others. And I think that's the paradigm for the next 7 years is not to hoard, but to take what's coming so that you can bless others. So I just, is that witness to anybody?
Yes.
I know that's,
yes.
Does it? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, let's just lift up our hands and let's just pray. Sometimes I feel like I prophesy over my head. Because I don't get all the complete understanding of it.
Please do.
it may be, you know, at the end of 7 years, we look back and go, wow, you know. So, Lord, we lift that up to you right now. And I think it's for each of us as individuals and family members. And, Lord, it's also collectively for the body of Christ here. But, Lord, I believe it's beyond that. I think the scope of your heart is always the world. The scope of your heart is always people. And so, Lord, we pray right now, whatever be in us that does not line up to receive the 7 years of good, Lord, I don't know if that's a particular number or just a season of time, but whatever does not line up in us, in our thinking, Lord, in the way that we view life and the world, we pray right now that you would, by the end of this year, you would identify those things, take them out of our thinking, out of our soul, so to speak, and so that we can receive from you so as not to hoard, but to bless others locally and around the world, Lord. And I pray in the days ahead that you give us understanding, if indeed this is a word from your heart to us, that you give us understanding how to embrace it and implement it in Jesus' mighty name. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Well, why don't you start right now and go bless somebody. Give them a hug, a holy handshake, or howdy. Well, let's just pray and see how I can get this thing going again here. Lord, you know, I've been studying this, and you know what's going on between me and you during this week, and I just pray, God, for help. Just help me to be able to articulate what you put on my heart. And, Lord, we want to walk free, and we want to walk in the freedom for which Christ has set us free. And, Lord, I know in my life there's things that you've uncovered this week, and you're so faithful. And I want anything and everything in my thinking, Lord. If it's stinking thinking, I want it out of my life, and I think I can say that for the people here as well, Lord. We ask, God, that you would just continue to, Lord, expand our capacity to think like you think so that we can live like you lived. And to that end, we give ourselves to you in Jesus' mighty name. Can you say amen? All righty. Well, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And praise God. We'll start there where we started off. Obviously, I'm going to continue to talk about strongholds today, and which is a pattern of thinking that oftentimes does not line up with what it means to be a born-again believer. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 1, "Now I, Paul, myself am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walk according to the flesh. And though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is, you know, fulfilled." We talked about last week how, well, it's my personal opinion and conviction that everyone, that when you are born again, how many know that you have baggage? Anybody know what I'm talking about? That things of your previous life, even though your soul has been cleansed and you're right with God, there's thought patterns, there's even science tells us that over time, we kind of put grooves in our brains by the way that we think. And so we bring all of that into our Christian life and our Christian experience. just because you pray the prayer of salvation, I think all of us would agree that we're not at that moment perfect. We haven't arrived yet. And so, you know, I put a post on my Facebook this week about how, you know, just because you have age, it doesn't mean that you're mature. Maturity comes, in essence, when you accept responsibility for your life. And in the context of what I'm speaking today, maturity comes when you accept the responsibility of who you are in Christ. And you allow that to affect the way that you think. And you begin to move from fleshly way of thinking into a pattern of the godly way of thinking. Now, I'm one of my strongholds that I still deal with today, I'm very mindful of it. I call it my Achilles heel. Everyone know exactly when I say that? You know, oftentimes you'll have tendonitis or something in one of your tendons and stuff. So you favor it because you want it to heal properly. And then, for example, I have on this side, I don't know what it is, but I have a weakness right here. I did it when I was working as a young man at Southeastern Freight Lines. I busted freight early in the mornings. You know, this was back before the government paid for everything. I busted freight. I was married, so I had to make a living. And so I'd get up and go into work at 4, bust freight to 10, get off, take a quick shower, and go to class, come home, study. And usually I was in bed by 8:30, you know. Didn't have time to get in trouble. I was too tired. But in one day, I was cracking over a 55-gallon drum, and I just pulled some muscles back here. I mean, it put me on the ground. And, of course, I was out of work for a week, and they sent me to, you know, the company was a good company, sent me to a doctor, and they did all kinds of stuff back there. And no surgery, but ultrasound. Ooh, that stuff is wonderful. I mean, it's just, it hurts, but it's like, oh, it feels so good after they're done with it. So today when I go out and work in the yard, I have a big strap that I put on. And, you know, I know that's a long way of saying it, but I do. And, it comes up around here and it secures my back so that I favor it. Well, mine in the spiritual life was rejection. I just suffered a lot from rejection growing up. Rejection is a cruel taskmaster because it leads to all kind of stuff. Number one, shame. Number two, you're always comparing yourself to other people. Do you know that it is a no-win situation? There is no way that you'll ever measure up, because there'll be some that you can look snooty down because, like, oh, I'm better than him. But then you'll look at others and go, oh, my heavens, I'm not measuring up. And so you begin to get into a performance mentality that feeds whether you feel good about yourself or not. Now, how many of you know that's bad theology? That is terrible theology, because the scripture says in Ephesians chapter 1, I believe it's verse 8, that we are what? Accepted in the beloved. That we stand cleansed. And there is no way that I could ever work enough, do enough stuff, win enough souls, disciple more people that will ever cause me to be accepted by God. I'm accepted by God. You're accepted by God because of what Jesus did on the cross. That is it. That's it. And so I just got into this work performance type of thing where I just, we'll work till Jesus come. We'll work till Jesus come. You know, and I understand the song, and I understand that. But see, my thing was to work for acceptance instead of being obedience out of love toward God and trusting for the fruit that comes out of that. There's a whole different way of looking at life when you do that. How many of you know when you do stuff in life out of love, it's a whole lot better than trying to do stuff out of life to measure up to other people? Here's the good news. You'll never measure up. So quit. Stop that nonsense. Get into the Word. Let the Word of God feed your soul, and let this Word and the Spirit of God tell you how valuable you are to get to Him. And that brings a sense of deep level security. And so I had to walk that out. I had wrong concepts of salvation. You know, I had this in the back of my mind, I can do more, I can do more, I can do more. And the truth is, now that I'm overcoming this, I'm doing more. Not because I want to do more, but because I'm just in love with Jesus. That's why I have divine encounters at these, you know, various places that I go. You know, I've gotten to a place where I'm always expecting it to happen. Because I carry with me something of the Spirit of God. And He's all about loving people. So what happens out of that, the next stage is this. You really don't love yourself. You don't have, you know, the Bible says that you cannot love other people if you don't love yourself. You know the Scripture says that. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto me. Love other people as you love yourself. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Because a man never hateth his own body, but what? Nurtures it. And so on and on it goes. And it's a death spiral. And this is one of the reasons when you read the parable about the sower that went forth to sow seeds, and it gives you the four, what happens, the four concepts of results of when the seed is sown. One of them, you know, the ground's hard so it doesn't take, and then the birds come and eat it, and then the worries of life, it all chokes it out. This is the reality of that. And I believe it's directly related to how that person is thinking. It's how they're thinking. And so we've got to get to a place where we understand how to think. In 2 Corinthians 2, Paul says it this way. We have the mind of Christ. Okay? Now that's a big one. Because if you kind of have the grace to replay everything that's going on in your mind this past week, you would go, Wednesday, it wasn't there. You know, I had all these things happening. That's not the mind of Christ. Well, how did you know? Because there was murder in my heart. I wanted to kill the guy. You know, one of those type of things. And so, but he says that we have the mind of Christ. And then the other thing, I was meditating on it this morning when I was coming. And it's not in my notes, but when I was coming to church here, I started thinking about Romans 7 and 8, particularly Romans 8, where it talks about presenting your members, in other words, your mind, your will, your emotions, even your natural body, presenting your those members to the Spirit so that you can be led by the Spirit. Because if you're not led by the Spirit, how many, you know, nature abhors a vacuum, you will be led by something other than the Spirit. Now, in Galatians, we call that the flesh. And it talks about how, and it occurred to me that if you'll watch your thinking and just invite the Holy Spirit, all you got to do is say, Lord Jesus, I want you to just watch my thinking and my words, and if there's ever anything that I'm thinking or saying that lines up with the works of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5. All right, Mike, do you have that? You have a song up there. Oh, go up to Galatians chapter 5, and let's go there, because I want to just, most of you know this, but it's always good to put it up there anyway, right? Galatians chapter 5. I was just reading that this week. And we can start with verse 16. Are you about there? You want me to go ahead and read? All right. Then verse 16. Then I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In other words, if you walk in the Spirit, you are going to be wide open to the mind of Christ. Are you seeing the correlation here? He said, for the lust of the flesh, or excuse me, for the flesh lust, or one version says wars against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, so that these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things you wish. You ever been there? All right? That's where, you know, stinking thinking, all right? And he goes on, he says this, but if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law, for now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, reviling, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things, now get this, will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so what I'm suggesting to you today is that if you will look at that, now we're going to look at the fruit of the Spirit in just a minute, but if you will look at those ideas, those are all, some of them are just basically the results of your behavior, but every behavior begins with what? A thought. It begins with your thinking. And so if you will be honest with yourselves, I'm looking forward to our next men's meeting because I've already got a message geared up. I'm looking forward to it. But if you will be honest with yourselves and ask the Spirit of God to say, show me where any of this is in my life. Now, the first three or four are the biggies. You know, I'm not committing adultery. I'm not committing fornication. And I haven't murdered anybody yet. All right? But what about the thing when Jesus says, if it's in your heart, what did he say? You did it. All right? So that's where the thinking process comes. And I'm trying to get you, to help you to see that there's a lot of strongholds out there. Are you the half, the glass is half full type of person? I'm telling you, that's a stronghold. Doesn't line up with the Word of God. Seeing that He has given everything to us pertaining to what? You remember Peter's epistle? We have everything that we need for what? Life and godliness. That's the Word. That's true. Well, that's not my experience. Well, that's because your thinking stinks. And it's not lining up with the power of the word of the cross. See, he wants us to set us free from that. The reason why so many people have this religious experience, say the prayer, go through water baptism, even maybe get filled with the Spirit, and they start off really good, and then, 6 months later, all of a sudden you turn around and go, where's Billy Bob? What the world's going on? One of the reasons why, I would go to the venture to say this, the reason why is because they have not dealt with the way they think. Is there any reason why Paul said in Romans chapter, what did he say? Renew your mind. Remember it? You want me to read it to you? Y'all remember it? Are y'all good with that? Okay. Renew your mind. Why? So that you can what? Prove what the will of God is. So if Paul said to do that, do you think it's just a nice verse to teach our children and our grandkids? Or do you think it really pertains to us as adults? And the crazy thing this past week, as I was praying into this, all of a sudden, and I was meditating on the flesh. Now let me
I'll get back to that, but I want to finish reading this. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And those who have Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Guess where those passions and desires start? With the thinking process. So you don't have to use the lust of the flesh. Just use the fruit of the Spirit. Am I walking in love? No. I was talking to a missionary just this week. I was in his house. He had just flown back from somewhere in the Middle East. And I saw he was in town. And I sent him a message. I said, hey, I've got this thing going on and I'm going to be in town. Is there any way I can swing by and say howdy? He said, yeah, well, man, I'd love it. And so we sat down and talked, and he shared something with me. I've known him for years, and I've never heard him say this. And he said, you remember when I was in Kenya? I said, yeah, I remember when you were in Kenya. He said, I was mad all the time. It took me back. And I still, now, don't think that my esteem for him lowered. In fact, it went higher, because of what he told me. I said, well, why? He said, we were broke. We were broke all the time. We didn't have enough money to put a down payment on a hot dog. We were just broke. And I just was mad at God. I was mad at God's people. Them stupid people, don't they see the work I'm doing down here in Kenya? They need to be sending me money. And he said this to me. I ad-libbed that last part. He didn't actually say that. I thought it a few times. But he actually said this to me, which really just went, oh, my heavens. He said, you know what I learned? I said, what? He said, you can't be redemptive when you're mad. I wrote it in my journal back at the house. You can't be redemptive when you're mad. Can you say stronghold? He lived that way for years. He's a totally different man now. He just loves Jesus. And the crazy thing is, here's the crazy thing. Once he confessed it and got it out in the open, and listen, this is one of the key ways that you can overcome a stronghold, a way of thinking. He got accountable to a couple of guys that he knew loved him. And they worked with him. They checked on him. How you doing? How's your heart been this past week? How's your thinking? Is it stinking? Or is it radiating the goodness of God? And he was able to change his thinking and to get out of that. And today, he's in the Middle East with more money than he's ever had. Do you know God is more interested in your heart being right with him than you being effective in the ministry? Do you know that? He is more, because he is jealous. He has a jealous love over you and I. And he does not, listen to me, he don't want to share 1 ounce of your heart with anybody else. He wants your total love and commitment because he's given you everything he has. Our walking in the truth and in the power of God not only needs to be practical, it needs to be pragmatic. A stronghold is not a demon. I want to give you some definition here. Right? It is a pattern of thinking that you have developed over time. And if you have a stronghold rejection, It may come out in different words, but basically here's the essence of that stronghold. I hate my life. I hate myself. I hate my life. I hate myself. I wish I was like so-and-so. Why can't my marriage be like theirs? It's a pattern of thinking. That, again, I feel like a broken record here. Renew your mind. Do you know the number one reason the enemy goes after your relationship with the Word of God, the book, is because he knows that the Spirit primarily uses the book to renew your mind. Do you know another tactic of the enemy is to try to make you think that you're so mature, you don't need to hide God's Word in your heart anymore? That's just for the 4 and 5 year olds. Pull your toes in. I'm getting mighty close to stepping on a few here. Look at the scriptures again back in 2 Corinthians. Let's look at it real quickly. Is this okay? Is this making, y'all want me to quit? Or is this okay? All right, keep going. All right, and then I'll preach to you. You said keep going. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I want you to notice in verse 5, the New American Standard says, but the casting down arguments, everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The New King James, the King James Version, and the New American Standard Version. Here are some of the words that they use. Speculations, imaginations, arguments. Those are all different words that those particular translations use. And it says, what are those things targeting? It says it in the verse. Against what? The knowledge of God. So you've got these arguments, these speculations, these imaginations. Let me stop on that. How is your imagination? I got, you know, with this new Thor movie. Is it the new Thor movie that's come out? It's one of them superheroes, you know. Have you ever noticed how kids, I got a 4-year-old, you know, grandson. And he is every superhero there has ever been. One day, he's Superman. And he's got it out. Next day, he's Iron Man. He's got the mask, all this stuff. And then, you know, then there's so many of them out there, I can't keep up with them anymore, you know. Then there's Thor. You got Thor's hammer. And the problem is he starts beating his sisters with it, you know. So you kind of have to do a little refer in there. Whoa, wrong place. But you see, the point is that in the kingdom, we're superheroes. In the kingdom of God, we are superheroes. And you see, it's the how do you imagine yourself? You know, one of the things in leadership conferences, you know, that I go to and I get condemned and I feel bad and all this other, but one of those questions is, what do you see yourself doing 10 years from now? Now I'm starting to say, well, if I'm still alive, you know, I'd like to be doing this, you know. But really, it engages your imagination. And my point is, is your imagination dead? Or is your imagination simply this? Nothing will change. Everything will be the same. I'm too old to make any significant changes in my life. I am stuck in this position, this job, this place. You know, it's like that old joke. It's not a lot, but it's a life, you know. I'm trying to give you these little tidbits to kind of ring your bell, so to speak. What are you imagining? I mean, really, where do you see yourself 3 years from now, 5 years from now? What do you see yourself doing? If you can't get much past what you're doing right now, may I suggest to you You suffer from a stronghold. There are mindsets. Those of you who are married, when you have time with your, I hope, number one, you have time with your wife, that unless there's a nuclear bomb, you do not in any way counsel it, right? When we were growing up, and Nancy and I saw the importance of having a date, of course, when you've got little doorsteps, it's even hard to sit down on the couch and have a conversation. Come up, somebody say amen, all right? So, I mean, you know, so we had to get into a place. We set our children down and said, all right, we're going to have couch. We called it couch time. And unless there is a bomb or a tornado outside the window, you are bleeding or a bone is sticking out, you do not come and talk to us for the next 30 minutes. Okay, Daddy. I mean, we guard that time. And in that time, you know, we've done this, and we still do this. You know what we do? We dream. What do you like to do? You know, this is great. I'm not as old as I am, I'm young as I used to be, but we'd look at each other and go, what do you want to be when you grow up? Deputy Sheriff. I mean, really, you know, how many of you know, one person said, we are up. No. In the scheme of eternity, you're just a young kid. You're still in diapers. What do you want to do this time? What do you want to improve on? What would you like to? I remember that first time when I said, I want to go back to school and get my PhD. And she said, what? And then, of course, you have to watch the flesh. Because normally you go, how the heck are we going to pay for this? You know, it's one of those type of things. But we did it. When she came to me, she said, I'm supposed to go back to school. Well, go, girl. How are we going to pay for it? I don't have a clue. Go. You know how you know your mind is getting renewed? Because when you have a new thought, a new adventure, something bold that God's put in your heart, the first thing that comes to your mind is receiving the grace of God for it instead of asking yourself, how are we going to pay for it? I would suggest that when you start thinking that way, you're taking on the mind of Christ. Mindsets, because you are immature physically and emotionally, because we are ignorant of the truths of God's Word, we begin to believe that somehow these negative emotions and negative opinions of us are all true. You remember Paul said? Now all of a sudden it starts taking on more significance. Bad company, what? Corrupts what? Good morals. You remember that scripture? Whose is that? Okay. Now, what I'm getting at is this. Mike's got a job somebody wants him to come and do. What I'm getting at is this. Surround yourself with people who will help you renew your mind. Speculations, imaginations. Because if a stronghold, negative thinking is not dealt with, you'll come up with arguments of why you should be that way. You will start justifying the way you are. Have you heard that before? Maybe you said it. It's just the way I am. I can't change. Huh? Come on. Huh? It's just the way I am. I cannot tell you how many times in almost 3 decades of doing this in a marriage counseling situation, one of the spouse will eventually get around saying, I can't help myself. It's just the way I am. At which I reply, liar, liar, pants on fire. You know why I can say that? I can say that because the Word of God tells me that I'm a brand new creation. And that Philippians says, I can do what? All things, what? Through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. That means, dear ones, you can change. That means no matter who you, in your marriage, I don't know why I'm on marriage, but if in your marriage, if you're bickering and backing and forth and arguing and this, that, and other, that means you can change. When the pattern of thinking is not addressed, when you do not make this a priority, instead of saying, oh, but he preached a good one today, if you do not make this a priority in your life to reflect the mind of Christ wherever you go, then you will never grow. And I didn't mean for that to rhyme, but it did. You will be stuck in the same scenario where you are. And I would suggest that you're the stick in the mud, not everybody else. Now, here's the problem with all of this, or at least I should say a significant problem. If these patterns of thinking, speculations, imaginations, and arguments, if they're not addressed in your life after coming to Christ, and you perpetuate those things, and you perpetuate them, you will eventually come to a place where you are oppressed by the enemy. And you just got out of the pot and got in the fire when that happens. And more than likely, you're going to, in order, now there's deliverance. Come on, somebody. Ask me how I know. There is deliverance from that stuff. Once you become, your eyes are enlightened, and once you see, like, oh dear God, like my friend that was down in Kenya, he had that moment of revelation from God's Spirit that he was just tukey. Anybody else use that word, tukey? I just made it up. Tookie. A patootie. There's another one. That's a good southern term. You're a patootie. What's a patootie? It's equal to a horse's behind. And he had that revelation. You know, normally it comes this way. If your spouse doesn't tell you first. I'm having too many thoughts come to my mind right now. My wife. Yeah, I did. Okay, time out. She's not here, so she would be back with her handkerchief flagging me right now. So I remember when I finally made the decision to go to Fuller and get my master's and give in to the ministry and do whatever what God had called me to do. We were picking up everything from Valdosta, all our friends. We were leaving everything, driving all the way across country to go to Pasadena. And you know the one thing, you think she'd come up with all these spiritual things about me, us going out. You know, because you know I had enough sense to be in unity with my wife. You think she'd come up with all these grandiose spiritual revelations. And you know what she did? She looked at me and she said, if we go, are you going to be happy? Just pull the knife out slowly, please. Just pull it out, just ever so gently. And you know, it hit me. I hadn't been, you know, it's kind of like she needs like a gold crown for living with me during those years. It's well, actually, after it was all over with, and the Lord dealt with me primarily in our hearts. My marriage is solid as a rock. Oh, God, it's good. But she actually told me one time, she said, there was a time there I was ready to leave you because I was tired of being around an old grump, and you weren't old. You were just 30-something. Golly. You get that revelation from God? I hate being this way. Or have one of your sons come up to you and say, you never listen to me. When that finally sinks in, you realize, dang, he's right. Where does that come from? What an issue of me loving my son. I loved my sons. I'd laid my life down. But they didn't feel like that I liked them. How many of you know there's a difference between saying you love somebody on the one hand and on the other hand they're able to say, yeah, and you even like me. You know what the revelation is? When you come into security in the love of God, you can move past God loves me and you can actually say he likes me. That, to me, was a revelation when I got it. A stronghold, when you get to a place of demonic oppression, you'll suddenly realize that you're living in a lifestyle where you feel like you have no free will. You try to stop, you try to get it better, and you just don't have the willpower to say no and actually mean it. I was talking to some police officers this past Thursday. There was three or four counties represented. We were out training dogs with them and stuff, and one of them, she's a lady police officer, nice lady. I'm not real sure. I've had a couple of conversations with her, but not real sure where she is with the Lord. She's very moral, but she was talking about smoking. She said, yeah, I quit smoking 7 times. And then she says, but every time I go back to work, I start again, you know. And it's kind of like, well, with some of the people that you deal with, maybe I can cut you a little grace on that, but you know it's not good for you. I'm trying to gingerly touch some areas that when I'm talking and preaching right now, you inside of you, you probably are starting to say, oh, well, if I wasn't in church, I'd say some word, but I can't say it because I'm in church, but oh, doo-doo. Oh, I have that. Oh, I see that in my life. I'm telling you, that's the Holy Ghost. And it's not just so that you can go, oh my goodness, I have this problem. That's not why I'm doing this. The essence of why I'm doing this is so you can go, ah, this is a revelation. God's goodness can come upon my life and I can walk free from this and actually think like he thinks. You know, 1 John 4:17. One of my favorite verses, as he was in the world, so shall we be. When I first read that as a young man, I said, John, man, get a life. There's no way my life is even in that ballpark, man. Were you smoking dope back then when you wrote this? Are you crazy? But the more I've walked with God, the strongholds get identified with. I cannot tell you the amount of freedom that I have enjoyed ever since I have defeated the stronghold of rejection. Because then it led to another one, shame. Do you know how much shame people are walking under today? And that leads to, of all things, it leads to rebellion. You ever see these people that are just, you know, picking a fight, you know? Always picking a fight. I guarantee you it's not because they're trying to be macho, because inside their heart is craving for a father's love that brings deep level of security to them. And if you're in that place, if you honestly are sitting there going, goodness gracious, it's just a part of who I am. I just naturally think that way. This, I've never thought about being redemptive or being mad all the time. But now that he mentions it, yeah. And if you're married, ask your spouse. Okay, we should all stand and have an altar call right now. I mean, when you take the garbage out, the rats will leave. But you've got to take the garbage out. Now, what is that garbage? Wrong thinking. Strongholds develop and continue as believers when we live independent of God. They continue in our lives as Christians. You remember Galatians chapter 5? If that is indicative of, if those characteristics are indicative of your life, then you, it's not if, you will be consumed by that stronghold. Let me give you some examples of things that I have dealt with over the years. Lying. You know why you lie? Because you want to be accepted. You want to put something out there that people go, oh, lust, dear God in heaven. I've already mentioned this one, anger. If you live in anger long enough, you know what happens? Bitterness. I've been in counseling situations, somebody says, I don't have any friends. And after hearing their story, I go, I wouldn't be your friend either. You know why? Because they're bitter. They're just bitter. Here's one that you might have to think about. Hypervigilant. You know what you do? You overanalyze every cotton-picking decision you want to make to the point where you don't make a decision. And of course, you know when you don't make a decision, you just decided. So y'all are all looking at each other and shaking your hands. Maybe I should stop there and have an altar call. I'm telling you, it is the pit of hell to live that way. We have the covenant right to discern the voice of God and to know what we are to do. These things, 1 John 5, these things I have written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. That you may know if you're supposed to take that job or not. That you may know she's the one for you. What are you doing? Get over there and ask her to marry you right now. That you may know that you're supposed to birth that ministry that God's put in your heart to do. Another one off of that is ambivalence. Back and forth. Just, you know, I call it being spiritually bipolar, you know. You know, it's kind of like when you go into the presence of the person and you're thinking, I wonder where they are today. Are they high or low? Now, come on, guys. Come on. Let me give you some summaries and I'll close with this. I'm on page 3 of my notes. I have 25 pages of notes. So we may be here a while. I'll try to mix it up. Listen, this is critical. You may have some friends. Another, you may be sitting there thinking, I wish so-and-so was here so he could hear that or hear this. Chances are, you're probably the one that needs to hear it first, just in case, all right? Listen, Satan's perpetual aim is to infiltrate your thoughts with his thoughts and to promote his lie in the face of God's truth. You want me to say that again? Satan's perpetual aim is to infiltrate your thoughts with his thoughts to promote his lie in the face of God's truth. Number two, wrong focused thinking or repeated fleshly actions, which we read about, will form an ungodly habit in your life. And if you and I exercise our minds and our wills long enough in this unscriptural way, a stronghold will be established in your life, and there will come a time when you will be completely oppressed by it. And it will take a truth encounter and a power encounter to get deliverance. And hence, that's where we get that word from. Some people say, well, deliverance ministry is about getting the devil out of you. I would suggest to you that the deliverance ministry has to deal with your thought life first. Because if you kick a demon out without addressing the mentality of how they think, they're just going to come back with seven more worse, and they're going to be worse off than they were. Don't even. You know, one of the things I do when I minister to people like that, I ask them, are you willing to continue to grow in God's truth? And this is what I mean by that. And I give them about four principles. And if they hem-haw around, I just smile, go get me a soda and sit there, drink it, and listen to them and dismiss them. I'm not going to touch that because they're not serious about their relationship with God. I'm doing them a favor. Number three, strongholds then become anchored in our lives through demonic influence and spiritual conflicts from the past or our past or our present mentality that assaults us, which serves to lock us into spiritual, physical, emotional bondage. Now, if you claim, like me, that I want to be a discipler, by the way, that's in the Bible, in case you've not read it, you know. The last thing that he said to us is what? Go and what? Make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I'm with you always. Unless you're ex-druggie, it would be, and hi, I am with you always. If you're going to be an active discipler, you need to know how to deal with strongholds. You need, and that's one of the reasons why I'm going to do this on Sunday evenings as well. But you need to know who you are. Number one, you need to know who God is. Number two, because of who God is, you need to know who you are. Number three, you need to deal with your strongholds. And trust me, they're there. You know, the ones that have been with you the longest are embedded the deepest. So you have to ask the Holy Spirit. I want to be a clean vessel. And then put your seatbelt on, because he takes that prayer very, very seriously. And then your experience of the joy of a renewed mind, your experience of the joy of walking in freedom, your experience of being able to get out from underneath that demonic oppression in your life becomes the bedrock from which you minister to others. What I'd like to suggest to you in closing is a lifestyle. for too long we've talked about ministries as an event that takes place in an office somewhere. I'd like to suggest to you a lifestyle of walking with people, brothers and sisters, a lifestyle of freedom, a lifestyle of embracing the truth of God's Word, a lifestyle of deeper revelations of His love and His mercy and His grace, a lifestyle that says any pattern of my thinking that does not line up with your Word and your purpose for my life. Get it, Holy Ghost. Get it. Bring it to the surface. Give me grace to repent of it. Surround me with men or with women who will hold me accountable so I don't slip back into that area again. Let me read Romans 8 and I'll conclude with this. I don't really know where to start. I'm going to read several verses, so just hang with me, okay? Verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who walk according to the flesh, ready? Set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For the carnally minded, for to be carnally minded, I feel the ghost, whew, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it cannot be subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. But if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He will also give life to your mortal bodies. Now, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if we live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, and you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons and daughters of God. For we do not receive a spirit of bondage to fear again, but you and I receive the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we might be glorified with Him. Guys, listen. It starts by making a decision that every day you're going to yield your members, your mind, your will, your emotions, your body. You're going to yield all of those every day to the Spirit of God. Because who you yield your members to is who you will obey. And as you do that, and as I do that, trust me, those strongholds will become evidence. And the cool thing is that eventually you get rid of them. Guess who becomes your stronghold? God does. Remember King David? Read the Psalms. He's always saying, God is my stronghold. God is my stronghold. Let's stand together. Thank you for your attention. God wants us to walk in freedom. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, do not be subject again to the yoke of bondage. The enemy of our soul fears one thing. He fears a brother or a sister who has come into a place of fully accepting the love of God in their lives and allowing the Spirit to erase all the old and stepping in and embracing the new. You remember Corinthians, right? All things, old things, what? Pass away. Behold, all things become new. Today I'm going to pray. That's an invitation from the Spirit to each of us to experience the new, the all things that have become new. I believe that the Lord Jesus, through these teachings, wants to introduce you to your new self. I should write that down. That was good. Glory to God. Father, we come right now before you. And I just so don't want to rush through this, even though I know it's late. There's strongholds in this room. I know because I'm in this room. I know you're dealing with mine. And I'm so grateful that you do. It's such a wonderful thing to get rid of stinking thinking and to come into a place of freedom. Lord, there may be some here today that just are angry. There may be some here today that have just a bad outlook on life. There may be some here today that are just stuck. That says, que sera, sera. What will be, will be. What it was like yesterday, it will be today. And what it's like today, it's going to be like tomorrow. There's no imagination of dreaming with you. There's others, Lord, that can't make a decision. They just absolutely talk it to death. And by the time they're ready to make the decision, the opportunity has already passed. And Lord, there's others that I didn't preach on today. Abuses. Abuses. The enemy loves physical, sexual, emotional, and verbal abuse. Because he's able to get inside of us and absolutely extinguish our ability to trust again. God, come, sweet Spirit. Some people may just be mad at me right now. I know that was my first response. I was mad when I heard this sermon. It threatened me. And the reason it threatened me, oh God, is because all the bad stuff in my life had become normal. Sweep in this place, Holy Spirit of God. Touch hearts, touch thinking patterns. Reveal not just the stronghold, but reveal the freedom, the glorious freedom of walking out of it. We do not want to be a bound people. We want to be abounding in the love of God, in the mercy of God, in the goodness of God. So I trust you this week, Lord, that you will deal, O hound of heaven, hound each of us until you come with your cleansing fire and allow our thinking to rise to the place of truly reflecting that we are sons and daughters of the living God. I ask for grace right now for each one of us. To do exactly that. I pray that God will give you courage to confront this stuff that's going on in your life. And that He'll give you courage, men on men, ladies with ladies, to find someone that you know and love and respect and just simply say, I need help. I need to walk clear and free in these areas of my life. I can't speak for everyone, but I'm pretty sure most of the folks here will not condemn you. They'll just simply look at you and say, yeah, let's do this together. Two are better than one. In my experience, I needed others in my life to help me walk clean. So, Lord, I release your grace to do that. And I bless your people. And I thank you for a new level of freedom that's going on here. Yeah. Earl needs to share something. Okay. That's perfect timing.
All throughout this service, I've had this picture of individuals standing, you know, with their wrists out, shackled, and a chain coming down from the shackles to a ball, your basic ball and chain kind of thing. And you've had this feeling that just your hands are tied. You can't do anything because you're being held back, because your hands are tied. And if that's, you know, anyone in particular, does this hit anybody where you're at? Or is it just me? I see one person at least. So that's good. Two. All right. Okay. So, Father, right now, come with the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of truth that renews our mind. Father, the Word of God is like a two-edged sword. And so, Father, I take that sword of the Spirit right now, and I slash through those handcuffs, and I slash that chain off of the ball so that you are free. You are free. You are free.
Yes.
You are free. Thank you, Father.
Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.
Next time I speak, I'm going to speak on the difference between iniquity and sin. And there is a difference. So let me bless you. Father, I just bless these, your people. God, allow your countenance to come upon them. Touch their lives with your goodness and mercy. God, give each and every one of us during this Thanksgiving season your blessed, blessed peace. So that, Lord, out of our hearts would come a level of gratefulness that perhaps some of us have yet to experience. Go with us, be with us for the remainder of this day. In Jesus' mighty name. Can you say amen? Amen. Oh, hug somebody before you leave. Happy Thanksgiving.